I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Once again, I have Alex on the podcast. And every time I have Alex on, that means that the content is dire because I call you in for like a tough bucket. Like you're like, I don't know, man, like TJ Warren. Remember, you know, like TJ Warren getting tough buckets in the bubble? Like that's you. We're in the bubble right now and you're TJ Warren. So Alex, what's going on, man?
Actually, what's up, man? Actually, the comparison is Thanasis, man.
Oh, when, no, you're not Thanasis, man.
Things are dying. First of all, number one,
yourself?
I'm always cheering for you from the sidelines. You know, okay. Me and you basically brothers.
Sure,
You know, but before the pandemic, you know, I would always hype you up the same way Thanasis did. Yep. Thanasis does that thing before every game, right? Like he just whispers all these things in Giannis's ears and then hypes him up. And then, you know, yeah, I am your Thanasis, bro. And that's... Yeah, I'm happy to be that. Or you're Shohei Ohtani and I'm Ichiro. I've got all the comparisons for
That's better. I feel like that's better. That's more fair for someone of your stature. I mean, you just told me that you were finalizing your book and all that stuff. So can't wait to have you back on to discuss your book, you know?
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about it the last 8 podcasts that we've done.
But you know what, though? Like, we're building anticipation. Here's the thing. Like, you know, like, shout out Mirren Vader. Like, you know, great writer. Just fantastic. She wrote this Giannis book. I'm seeing this on the timeline every 5 minutes, but it's from different people. You know what I mean? Or like Shea Serrano is like, every time he writes a book, it blows up. So we're going to do the same thing for you, Alex, because you deserve it. And also, I'm also getting a free copy from you. So it won't cost me any money. So
always, man. I always got you, man. What are we talking about today? You sent me some topics. It's dire out here right now.
It's very dire. Honestly, half the reason to have this podcast is to talk about Space Jam. So if you haven't seen the movie, we'll be talking about in the second half of the show. We'll let you know if you don't want spoilers. Although, you know, I think you can figure out what's going on. Okay. LeBron has to play some basketball and he has to win or else something happens. Like, you know, you kind of get the plot. But in any case, we'll talk about Space Jam 2 in the second half of the show. First half of the show, very little Raptors content in the actual, you know, concrete terms, but there are reports and it seems like this week in particular there's a lot of focus on Kyle Lowry and his immediate future, and very little of it has been tied to the Raptors. I will have to say it's not like, you know, reports come in, oh yeah, you know, Raptors have an inside track to sign Kyle really wants to stay and all this other stuff. You're hearing him linked to other teams, so I'll just read them out right now. You got New Orleans is emerging as a destination. This is according to Mark Stein, who was formerly of the New York Times, I feel like, because he's writing his newsletter on Substack now. So we'll see where Stein ends up. Chicago, Philly, Miami are also possibilities. This is according to Matt Moore of the Action Network. So yeah, let's start with those four. Let's start with the New Orleans portion of it. Kind of random. When I first heard this, I was like, are you sure Kyle wants to go to New Orleans? But, you know.
It's really random because – you figure Kyle's going to want to go to a team that's ready to win a championship like right now. And I'm sure it's exciting to play alongside Zion and even Brandon Ingram. But I mean, New Orleans in the West, like, are they even getting to the play-in tournament next year?
they have some real structural issues. I mean, they fired their coach after 1 year. Like, I'm not sure what's going on.
Did they hire a new coach?
Yes, they did. They got Willie Green.
That's right. Willie Green. Yeah. So, yeah, they seem like they hated Stan Van Gundy. I think Stan Van Gundy is just maybe like, you know, the league has passed him by at this point. Like, you know, once the coaches get old, like, who's really the old head that's still around? It's only Greg Popovich, I feel like.
Popovich. How old is Rick Carlisle? Rick Carlisle has the personality of an 80-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give that to Rick Carlisle, too. I mean, but you saw, like, Carlisle didn't really get along with Luka.
Mm, yeah.
That's part of the reason why I left. But, yeah, no, New Orleans is a really surprising destination. I'd be personally offended if Kyle went to New Orleans, chose New Orleans over Toronto.
Okay, like, all right.
If you choose Philadelphia, I get, you know, home. And also, you know, apparently the Sixers are contenders. Miami, I also get, you know, they're probably, you know, obviously further along, you could say, than the Raptors in terms of winning a championship. Those make sense to me. Chicago, too, is another weird one. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kyle, Zach LaVine, and Vucevic. What is that? Second round exit? He can do that in Toronto if he wants.
Wow. Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I think one of the commonalities when you hear, like, Chicago and New Orleans is sort of the idea that, like, you bring in Kyle to have a Chris Paul effect, right? And the idea of that is you saw it last year in OKC. Chris Paul takes his young team, gets them to the playoffs, loses in game 7, but a very hard-fought series against Houston. And then this past year, obviously, they're still in the playoffs, and we'll talk about them later as well. But Chris has multiple great moments throughout the playoffs, also had a great regular season.
And not right now, though.
Well, not right now, though. And yeah, we'll definitely talk about that portion of it, too, because it's been very fun to start. Because you know what? We kind of went too far on Chris Paul. It was like so much universal love for Chris Paul. And I'm like, I know a lot of people hate Chris Paul.
This stuff always happens, though. Like, he's in that sweet spot of, like, he's my age. Okay. I think he's 36.
He's 36 for real, yeah.
Yeah, he's 36. And, like, it's a perfect narrative, right? Like, people were ready. People probably had the MVP, finals MVP ready. Like, written down in pencil.
He was not. Like, it's so clear that he's not the best player of the Suns right now, man. It's just...
We'll talk about that later, though. No, but I think I get what you're saying, like, related to Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, you can bring in Kyle and have that effect. I get it. I mean, I think New Orleans, Chicago, all these teams would love to have Kyle. I just... For me, I wonder, like, why would Kyle choose New Orleans?
Out of all these teams? Well, I mean, it depends on how much the money is. Obviously, that's a huge factor. I think for Kyle, like, he's never really been... He was underpaid for quite a while, but the last like 5-6 years, he's been properly paid, like $30 million a year, reflective of his status in the league, reflective of what he's done, and he's deserved all that. I don't think Kyle's looking to take a discount, quite personally. Maybe if the money is very close, you can sort of match it up. But for the most part, Kyle's a guy who he's about his money. You know what I mean? Like he's. I'm not saying he's freelancer Alex, but like almost at that level, where he's going to get the bag. And I just think for Kyle, though, like, New Orleans is okay. You know, like, you can maybe talk yourself into it, but you would have to probably be paid a premium.
I'm just saying, like, for $20 million less, you wouldn't go to a team that's a better team. Like, you would really just take the most money and go to New Orleans. I almost feel like then, I'm not trying to be a homer, but, like, I am a homer. But, like, then I would be like, why don't you just stay in Toronto? Because I feel like the expectation is if Kyle leaves, and I would probably at this point, if you ask me, put it at more than 50-50 that he's going to leave. Like, I feel like it's more likely that he'll leave than he'll come back.
Well, we haven't heard a single report that, like, oh, the Raptors are, you know, going to do all this. Because, like...
Yeah, but you never hear reports about the Raptors, though, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but... Yeah, you're right.
Like, ever. And we don't even know who's running the show on August 1st. That's coming up next week, bro.
Yeah, well, listen. Masai will let you know.
These are the only topics. We're just going to rotate between Kyle and Masai over and over again.
How many times
to run it back this week for the 10-minute segment of this discussion.
Yeah, this run it back is just going to be this current podcast, but like with more light because it's daytime instead of at 10 p.m. at night.
I'm crossing New Orleans off the list, man. I'm crossing Chicago off the list too. I think.
Okay. All right.
I think if Kyle goes, he'll go to either Philly, Miami. I don't know if the Lakers can figure out a way there to do some kind of sign and trade because I don't think they have anything that the Raptors want.
We're not taking KCP. We're not taking Kuzma.
Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell. Yeah. No, I'm okay.
But I feel like he's going to end up on one of those teams. I can't see him going to a caliber of team like New Orleans or Chicago. I just can't see it.
Okay. So for Kyle specifically, let's look at just Kyle for now. What do you think is the best situation for Kyle? Let's assume the money is relatively equal. Think what he was looking for reportedly at the trade deadline in terms of teams looking to sign a trade for him and then also re-sign him was 2 years, $50 million. What is the best situation for Kyle based on all of these spots that he can land in? Because it seems like a very robust market, which makes total sense. The free agency class is not very strong.
I would say Philly. I think even at the trade deadline, it felt like Philadelphia just made so much sense because they clearly needed a point guard of Kyle's caliber and what he brought to the table. And I don't think that's changed. I mean, if anything, it's gotten even more dire for them, right? Mm. So I don't know if the Ben Simmons situation and the Kyle situation is going to end up being like a thing where you can work out some kind of sign and trade, or if you're going to somehow get Kyle and then figure out another trade for Ben Simmons. But I think it's clear cut to me it's Philadelphia. I mean, I can hear the case for Miami too, but I just feel like, I mean, I just feel like you know, if Joel Embiid is healthy and, you know, they still have a really good team, adding Kyle just puts them to the next level. It's literally the exact same conversation that we had at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Wow. Content is just the same. I don't know how people listen to every single episode. This, thank you. Like, I really do, but like,
what's this going guy's on, man? Saying thanks to his fans.
Yo, listen, it's July 19th. There is no firm Raptors stuff. It's like this or like all the Raptors have talked to this like random prospect who's like 24 years old.
Who, well,
like,
you're not on Instagram, but season
on NIT or whatever.
I'm seeing all these Instagram graphics. Apparently, we're really interested in Nerlens Noel.
What does that even mean? Who's really interested in Nerlens Noel? I mean, fine. I mean, I guess. To be honest, would you rather have Nerlens Noel or Kem Burge?
Probably Kem. I feel like Kem's better vibes. We're back to vibes again, which is how you know the Raptors had a terrible season.
It was an awful
year. Please don't make
again,
me grade.
This is why I'm thanking the listeners, man. Because
don't make me grade Freddie Gillespie and Utah Watanabe ever again.
It's still A+. It's still A+.
I want to apologize to everyone. You know, I listened to that podcast back after it came out when we graded all the players at the end of the season. And I was like, damn, how do we give all these guys A+? This is the worst season ever.
Yo, so we were grading on a curve, man. This is like
I retract all my grades, downgrade them by two alphabets, whatever you want.
Wow. No, this is like organic chemistry. Everybody fails the course and then you bell curve the whole thing, and then like somehow everybody got a B+. Even though they got like half of them wrong. But I mean, it was a tough year. So yeah, I mean, look, Nerlens Noel, sure, cool. I mean, fine. As a backup big, he blocked shots. You know,
how about we toss John Collins an offer? Is that possible?
It's possible, but it seems like he's going to cost the max, which we're probably not going to be able to get to. And also, I think Atlanta's going to keep him. Like, you can't make that run and then not keep him, right? Like, he was their big wing defender, and of course, I DeAndre Hunter was hurt, and who else did they have? I mean, like, I guess Cam Reddish was hurt as well, but I mean, realistically, you needed someone with size, with mobility, with some strength. And like, whether it was like Randall or Giannis, you know, I guess in the Sixers series, less so, but you like Collins was their guy. So they can't really let him go at this point. They're kind of pot committed. You know what I mean? Yeah. They called like two raises pre-flop. So they're stuck. They got to see it through at this point. What else, man? What else? So, okay, fine. You see Philly as the best destination. I agree with you. Like, I think first off, like, as much as we're both on record saying we don't want Ben Simmons at that price, especially if it costs some core pieces. If it's just a sign and trade for Kyle and nothing else, maybe like a distant pick, then yeah, sure. Like, would I take Ben Simmons for free? Essentially, yes, I would take Ben Simmons for free.
Think about it.
But
when Chris Bosh left, I mean, I don't even know if you remember, but like, didn't we get back Michael Beasley or something? Like, did that actually not happen? That was supposed to happen.
We didn't even get Michael Beasley.
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We got two first-round picks, one of which was ours.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. If Ben Simmons is the piece coming back in a sign-and-trade in which you're losing Kyle Lowry,
yeah,
like, I don't want to see anybody slandering Ben Simmons. Like, we're gonna wow. break down his defense. We're gonna start breaking down the defensive clips. Send me some clips. You know, we're gonna hype him up. We're gonna build him back up. Me and you are gonna build Ben Simmons back up, man.
That's not
single-handedly.
Happening.
That's we're the goal. Gonna, I lost Matt be... Thomas. I lost Jalen Harris. I'm ready for Ben Simmons, bro.
Nah, every single person you stand has really not worked out for it this whole season. So
next year I'm just gonna stand Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Steph Curry.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Honestly. Look. I think Philly makes the most sense for Kyle too. I think they have the biggest need, and I think B, like, that's a team that is relatively a veteran core that's sort of serious about making a run, making a push. To be honest, the only like hurdle I can see in that front is just Daryl Morey. I think honestly, for one, Daryl's probably trying to take all of the stuff that he has right now and trying to flip that into Dame Lillard. I think that's his number one concern, and I think. However that works out, whether that happens at the draft or that happens in free agency, we don't really know. It's really more on Dame's end to sort of formally submit that trade request and then sort of see how things go. To be honest, in my opinion, there's not enough time in that situation for Dame to be moved. But I think a guy like Morey, he's going to try to keep all his assets for that specifically. And that might lead him to missing out on Kyle, who I think is A, much more gettable. Like literally he could have got him at the trade deadline. Michael Grain settles on the 1 yard line. Apparently, Malcolm Butler came through and like intercepted. Is that?
Yo, did I do on, that right? Man. You've used that before. You've watched two Super Bowls I've and seen... one Jays game, yeah, like in well... your life, and you keep referencing either Jesse Litch on the Jays, yep. right? That's your baseball. Salute,
the ball boy.
Yeah, Malcolm. I don't know why you know his whole name. You must have watched NFL classics over and over again.
The thing is, I'm told he's not even good. That's the weird thing about football players. It's like. Like, guys make huge plays, guys have huge seasons, and then, like, a year later, they're just gone. Like, I'm just like, oh, yo, no, how are you supposed to follow that league, man? There's got to be some
thank
permanency.
You to, thank you for fans for listening to this, man. All we're doing is trying to fill some airtime right now. No, I mean, I think the Daryl Morey thing is a good point. Yeah. You know, has he changed his mind about wanting to get Kyle? I mean, if you didn't want Kyle at the deadline, are you regretting it now, or are you saying, well, that's – Kyle's another year older now next season. And I think the Dame thing
I hate that phrase, by the way, man. As if time doesn't move the same for every single person. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, for Ben Simmons, time actually is half as fast. Like,
but the Dame thing is a good point because, you know, I think at some point Dame is going to get over the fact that this is really awkward and he's turning his back on Portland and he's going to request a trade. Like, once these things go down a particular path, I've never seen it. In the, at least like the last 20 years, things kind of go back. Like he's down the path that he's going to. And I think he should just go ahead and do it now. But if he wants to go to Portland, it'll be like how James Harden wanted to, if he wants to go to Philly, I mean, it'll be like how James Harden wanted to go to Brooklyn last year.
Yeah.
Like the teams are going to figure it out. Like Dame can straight up say he wants to go to Philly.
Yeah. Well, my only thing with that is like, who does Dame know like that? You know how NBA players are. Like, they build these connections, right? Like, I think, obviously, for example, in the James Harden situation, like, he knew Kevin Durant very closely. They played, they were teammates. He knew Kyrie from playing in Team USA and stuff like that. Like, that one made sense. And he wanted to go to and Brooklyn, whatever. Like, I don't know, man. How many players are demanding trades to Philly? I mean, I was in Philly. Philly's nice. Philly's cool. It's gritty, you know? It's got a personality to it. You can run the steps on the art museum, take a picture
with Rocky. You were in Philly, but you were at the practice facility for 10 hours. So I don't know if I can trust your Yelp review.
The practice facility was also in New Jersey. Randomly. I don't understand, man. You crossed the river and it's New Jersey.
So you're closer to Buffalo? I don't know my maps. Yeah. I think Dame to Philly probably makes sense. You just go and play with Joel Embiid.
It does make sense, but like I think that Dame would have to specifically identify that portion of it. And then I think the other difference with the James Harden situation is Dame has so many years left on his contract that it's not even conceivable that he would do something like sit out or you miss checks. Like even if you get paid $40 million a year, like you're probably going to go to work. So I have not had that luxury yet, but you know, I still go to that work for a lot less than that. But, you know, like I just think that he's probably not going to do that same thing. I think he'll approach the team and give them a list and stuff like that. But how closely they adhere to that list, I'm not totally sure. In any case, though, I think Kyle has a lot of suitors. The situation for me is, if from the Raptors' perspective, if Kyle wants to go, or if the Raptors don't want to bring back Kyle, like, the ideal situation is you work out a sign and trade. And I just think that, like, from a sign and trade perspective, you're not going to get that much usually in a sign and trade. Like, you got to, like, temper expectations. That's why if you can get Ben Simmons in a sign and trade, even with that big contract, that's a huge win, right?
That's a monster win, man.
But they're not really gonna get that. Like, the market for Ben Simmons has to be so freaking low for that to happen. Even though Kyle would be a great fit in Philly, you know, I think when you're looking at sign and trades, you're mostly trying to A, get the player outgoing, in this case Kyle, like a sizable deal to his liking, and take back some salary. Essentially, it's almost like a salary dump in a way, although, you know, not fully that sense. But the idea is you're not going to get that much. So, like, for example, Philly, if you can get Maxey in a first, I think you'd be pretty happy with that.
I think that's a really good haul if they're able to get Maxey in a first.
Yeah. Or like
Simmons.
Yeah. I mean, you know, New Orleans, you'd Steven Adams in a first.
No, man. What are you doing Steven Adams for?
Come on, man. You know how the local media loves
Didn't New Orleans give him a huge deal and he was looking a little washed last season?
He was looking washed, but I mean, to be fair, like the whole Pelicans team was a mess. I'm not totally sure.
I want players under 30 coming back, man.
How old is Steven Adams? Is he 30 now?
He's gotta be.
I feel like he's young.
He was with Russ and KD in OKC. That's gotta be 10 years.
Steven Adams' age.
What's 32. Going on, man? I'm gonna say 32.
He's 28 years old, man. Damn, okay. This guy's younger than me. Up. Yo, that's round tough. Up. That's tough.
30. Round up. 30.
No, there's no rounding up, man. There's still rounding.
No,
up.
I don't want Steven Adams.
The same age. I'm not rounding
Steven
up.
Adams. No, all Steven right. Adams.
But okay, would he not start for the Raptors?
I mean, yeah, but hopefully the Raptors get a little better this offseason.
What do you mean?
I will say too.
We're linked to reports like, yo, Raptors are really in on Nerlens Noel. Like, I'd rather have Steven Adams on Nerlens Noel.
It's really gonna be a Twitter poll, Nerlens Noel or Rashawn Holmes. No, I also think when you point out the sign and trade, we should point out too that, like, I think the front office does need to pull something off if Kyle leaves.
Yeah, you can't let him walk for nothing, man.
They didn't go ahead with whatever the best offer was at the trade deadline, and I feel like that needs to be taken care of this offseason. Like, we shouldn't let the front office off the hook for that.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, the whole idea of like, oh, this established that the Raptors won't be, you can't just take players out the Raptors for nothing. I'm like, all right, that's fine. But like, can we have something? Like, for example, like Miami is another team that linked to, right? And Miami, I feel like with the Jimmy Butler connection, obviously everyone wants to, Miami is a very attractive free agency destination. Plus, they got golf or whatever. I love how Kyle's this big of a golf fan that, like, golf is like a huge free agency factor. Like, if you, like, I don't know, man, what place doesn't have golf? I guess, but like, if you don't have good golf, like, he's not coming to your city. That's wild. Anyway, but like Miami, for example, I think John Hollinger suggested something like Iguodala plus KZ Okpala plus Precious Achiuwa for Kyle.
Yeah, getting Precious Achiuwa would be cool. I mean, are we just waving Iguodala? Because
I mean, we had a chance to get Iguodala the first time in 2004, 2005, 2006.
Man, yeah, no, I guess we got to manage our expectations a little bit. Whatever these signs, you know,
it's not going to be great, man. We're pretty much getting the Vince Carter package, man. We're getting Alonzo Mourning, Eric Williams, Aaron Williams. Two first round picks, like that's essentially what we're getting.
Or Kyle could come back.
Or he could come back, which is a good point. But I mean, like, I just think that if Kyle comes back, the rotation looks really weird. Especially if they also draft one of the two Jalen's in the draft, which is like, for example, if Kyle came back and you took Suggs, just for example, right? You have at point guard, your depth is Kyle, Fred, Malachi, and Jalen Suggs. And then the shooting guard, Fred's going to play there. Trent's going to re-sign. He's going to play there. And then I guess Suggs is also your backup shooting guard because he's bigger than Malachi. And I guess Trent can play some small forward. But for the most part, you have still like 96 minutes a game between the two guard positions. So let's say you give Kyle 32, Fred 32, which is already very generous. I don't think Nick Nurse ever wants to play these guys less than 40 minutes. But still, Kyle 32, Fred 32, Trent 20, Sugg 16, Flynn 0. That you're already hit. You've got
Is Malachi's dad listening to this pod? Because I don't think he'd be all right with that.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, the rotation gets really, really messy if Kyle comes back. So I think that's also part of the reason why, like, depending on how the draft works out, like, if the Raptors end up with one of those guards, plus they traded for Trent already with this explicit idea of re-signing him, like, you're going to play him. Like, I'm not saying Kyle isn't better than all these guys. He is, but it's just, you know.
Kyle doesn't fit the timeline. He doesn't. You know, yeah. I think if you look at it from a basketball perspective, but if you look at it, obviously there's just a lot of, like, sentimentality with it, right?
Yeah. Like, but I mean, he's also really good, away though. Quick.
He is. But I guess at the end of the day, it's just what his motivations are. Like, I don't think he's trying to wait for the Raptors to build it back up.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'm preparing for Kyle to not come back, but I'd love to be pleasantly surprised.
Wow. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you at this point. I just think, like, again, like, the front office was fully ready to trade Kyle. He was fully ready to leave.
I still need to know what happened, man. Like, what happened.
Why did Daryl Morey go for George Hill, man? You know what? I got to pull up George Hill's box scores. I can't. I just, this idea that, like, he was like, I need George Hill's going to make a big impact for us. And to his credit, George Hill was on the floor at the end of game seven against the Hawks. And Ben Simmons wasn't. It was literally George Hill, Ben Simmons, and I think Maxey. Or
listen, man, George Hill was Milton? Like what Jeff Teague is to the Bucks. That's what he was to the Sixers during their playoff run.
Yeah. You want to guess? So game one, George Hill came out scorching 11 points. Do you want to know how many baskets George Hill made? Like the most amount of baskets in a game after the rest of the playoffs?
I'm going to say three.
Yeah. He had one game with three baskets. This is against
thank you
Washington.
Everyone for listening, man. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Atlanta, 1 for 3 from the field. 1 for 3 from the field.
Yeah, he's Jeff T.
2 for 4. 1 for 5. 1 for 3. 1 for 3. This guy, yo, this guy's a baseball player. This guy's going 1 for 3 every game, man.
This guy's gonna. You gonna call him Adam Lind?
No, this guy's a Lyle Overman. This guy's only hitting doubles, man. No, but for real, like, I've never seen a basketball player's stat line look so much like a baseball
player. How do white first basemen who bat left-handed, they're, like, all the same.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, George Hill slapping infield singles for the Sixers, man.
He's really Jeff Teague, man. He's Jeff Teague.
Yeah. So, anyway, I hope Daryl Morey does the right thing and gives us Ben Simmons for free for Kyle Lowry. I think that would work for both teams.
Man, that would be awesome. But you're right. Like, there's definitely some, like, one-upsmanship type stuff going on with Masai and Daryl too. I don't think either of them are trying to get fleeced.
No, I think ego has to come into factor there, which, yeah, I get it, man. I get it. What are your takeaways from the finals so far?
Takeaways from the finals.
Yeah. What are you enjoying from the finals? What are you not enjoying from the finals?
Giannis. I mean, I'm enjoying Giannis a lot. I feel like anyone who's an immigrant or has immigrant experiences or parents were immigrants, whatever it is, like, I feel like you got to root for Giannis. I know we've slandered him in the past, probably slandered him like 3 weeks ago when he was playing the Nets.
We slandered Thanasis off the top of the show. Right?
Yeah, but Thanasis is different.
I'm
still waiting for Thanasis. I know he's in health and safety protocols right now. Get well soon. Yeah. Every time Thanasis checks in, I wait for him to drop that Bebe special, the minus 10 in 2 minutes.
Oh, man.
I always wait for that. It gets me so excited. Yeah, he's going to fight two people in between. That's how he gets the minus 10, because he gets like 4 flagrant fouls. No, I'm loving watching Giannis. I think one of the things coming into the finals was, like, everyone was like, oh, there's no star power. It's the Bucks and the Suns. And, like, no, like, we're watching. I mean, all the games have been super entertaining. You know, I even feel like the first two games when the Suns won, those games were closer than the score was. And then, obviously, the last two games we've had the Giannis block and then the Jrue Holiday alley-oop.
Yep.
Well, Jrue Holiday steal, which was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was great play.
And then the alley-oop to Giannis, which Chris Paul with a really dirty foul, which I think people just missed because Giannis was too powerful and dunked it.
Was that a dirty foul specifically?
Man, look at that photo with LeBron in the background, man. He was like shoving him like in the privates.
Look.
Like, watch. Yo, come on, man. I know you're not trying to defend Chris Paul. I like CP more than you, man.
Yeah, I do. But even still, you know, as someone who commits dirty fouls in every sport that I play, at levels way lower than the NBA Finals. That's fine. That's a yellow card foul. Nah. This is like people getting mad at Chiellini for pulling on Saka's jersey. Yeah, is that a yellow card? Absolutely, 100%. But like,
that was a smart play. That was a smart play. How
this is what Chris Paul was trying to do. Although Chris Paul's foul was pretty dumb. If he had just dunked it, it was still a one possession game. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was dumb. It was borderline dangerous. But it just, you can't tell because nothing happened. But yeah, no, for me, the thing that stands out is definitely Giannis. You know, I think watching him kind of go to this next level and just play the way that he's playing, and you know, we've been part of his suffering in the playoffs. You know, the past two seasons.
Yes.
And it's cool, man. Honestly, it's cool. You know, I know a lot of Raptors fans don't have good feelings with Bucks fans. And trust me, if the Bucks finishes off and win, we'll let them celebrate for 5 minutes. Mm. And then we'll quickly point out that, you know, if KD wore a smaller shoe size, the Bucks would have been out in the second round. And Coach Bud would be on LinkedIn right now.
I mean, you're right. Definitely.
Our championships, assuming the Bucks win, both the Raptors and the Bucks championships will have been impacted by Kevin Durant.
I was going to say, as Raptor fans, we got to pick a different argument than KD. We just got to steer clear of that whole topic altogether. We did not do ourselves a glory.
No, but all jokes aside,
five when the injury happened. I was not jumping up and down. All right. Definitely that wasn't happening.
I'm not going to discredit anything the Bucks do. Like, if they win the championship, like, you win the championship, you win the championship, and they've earned it. And I mean, it's just weird, man. Like, Chris Middleton, suddenly this guy has like 20 point quarters, like every other game.
We know that. We know he could do that.
He was like, but I mean, come on. Like, he's been hitting ridiculous shots. Like, because like, he's basically, I mean, not to turn this into a baseball podcast, but this guy's Mariano Rivera, man. Like, he comes in as the closer with like 3 minutes left. Like, look at him last game, the shots that he was hitting. Like, he's been ridiculous in these playoffs. I mean, I know he's had like bad games here and there, but man, I mean, I don't know. And like, Jrue Holiday, you know, looked like Eric Bledsoe for like the first four games of the series and then came on too. But I don't know, man. I've been really impressed with the Bucks.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to watch. Like, you know, the Raptors got slandered for years. And at some point during that 2019 run, they became a different team. And it wasn't just Kawhi. Like, all these other guys became different players too, right? Like, Kyle ended all the narratives about him and, you know, all of the Raptors core group. And, you know, the Bucks are doing the same. The Bucks are doing the same, right? Like, what are we ever going to say about, you know, that group? You know, the big three. What are we going to say about Bud? Like, when you win a championship, there's really nothing anyone can say ever.
All right, Brian Windhorst, relax. he loves saying that, man. Anyway, you know, honestly, this Bucks thing is bothering me too, but I think it's just purely from a place of pettiness. And so from that perspective, I think I should be able to check it. It's unpleasant. Like, I don't like watching their success, but it's okay.
But I'm so happy for Giannis. You're not happy for Giannis?
I am happy for Giannis. And even the, you know, the whole, like, I guess, failed pursuit for Giannis to come to Toronto and all that stuff, like, that doesn't even bother him anymore. I think, as you mentioned, like, his story is so fantastic. His background is incredible. He just seems like a good dude as well. You know what I mean? Like, he seems like a regular dude. Like, he's just making lewd jokes in a second language. Like, I love that. You know what I mean?
Remember the bell that he had on Instagram?
Yeah.
He rang that bell?
He had another one recently as well. So, you know, like, I find him and his girlfriend's relationship really adorable. His story, obviously, is very, you know, it's good. But also, it's just like the better basketball team is winning right now. And that's what I really wanted to see from this playoffs is just like, two teams playing at close to their full capacity and one team being better and then that team being crowned to win the series or win the championship. And that's something that I feel personally has not been satisfying for me because, like, there's been so many significant injuries. And people say, well, you know, injuries happen every year. I'm like, yeah, injuries happen every year. Injuries are like, oh, yeah, Kendrick Perkins wasn't available to guard, I don't know, man, Dwight Howard or, like, I don't know, Andrew Bynum. So, therefore, like, you know, I don't want to hear that, okay? Like, injuries are like this year where you have Harden out, Kyrie out. That series was not satisfactory to me, even though it was still very good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Kawhi, you know, being so impacted. Jamal Murray taking out another championship team. AD and LeBron clearly wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, let's be clear. Not taking away anything from Phoenix, but they're out in the first round if AD doesn't get hurt in game four.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but, you know.
Nah, not maybe. That series was done.
You know, the Lakers team was kind of ass in retrospect.
They were, but, like,
why were they going to the Drummond thing? And then, like, as much as I love Mark, you love Mark. Marc Gasol was not, like, a golden solution to everything. Like, this isn't 2019.
But he was the only solution. He was the only solution. Like, but he's not going to do anything. That's how bad you wanted. That's how badly you wanted. They wanted Drummond off the floor. No, they. Yeah. I mean, we've seen LeBron carry worse teams. I mean, LeBron obviously wasn't at 100%.
They had no guards either, plus Dennis Schroeder.
They could have crawled their way to the conference finals, though, the Lakers. They could have beaten Phoenix. They could have beaten Denver. And then I don't know what happens with the Clippers.
Do you think LeBron was banking on going to the finals and then releasing Space Jam? That would have been wild. I feel like that would have helped sales.
Yeah, no, it's wild that he showed up courtside. And then I don't even know if this was a Photoshop graphic, but I think ESPN put up like the Rotten Tomatoes rating for Space Jam.
Yeah, so that was Photoshop.
Was it Photoshopped?
It was.
Because I was like, there's no way ESPN's doing that.
Although I would have kind of loved that kind of pettiness from Disney. Although, by the way, why was LeBron sitting by himself? Like, I thought he would be sitting with. Like, why would he just come up? Did he come alone to the game?
No, he was with his guy, Randy Mims. Like, he sits next to him. That's like his close friend. And then I guess Rich Paul was with Adele, like, on the other side.
Which, you know, I didn't see that one coming, but.
No, that's wild.
Yeah.
Happy for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Very random. I literally, like, I heard Zach Lowe on the post-game podcast with Brian Windhorst and Nick Nurse. Although Brian Windhorst was getting Russell Westbrook level touches on that podcast, and Nick Nurse was just standing in the corner like Thabo Sefolosha, unfortunately. But in any case, listen to that podcast, and Brian mentioned he was like, and he's there with his girlfriend Adele, and I was like, what?
It's wild.
Adele's there with her boyfriend, Rich Paul. All right, please put some respect on that. That's not how that goes.
No, it's Rich Paul, man. This guy was selling throwback jerseys out of like the trunk of his car, and LeBron just spotted him.
How is that true though?
Yeah. You think it's like a made up origin?
No, it just sounds so good. The story's so good. It just sounds a little, you know, like,
it's like, yo, man, this guy quit accounting and became a writer. No, but like,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Happy with Rich Paul, man. This guy runs the world. Isn't Nick Nurse part of Clutch too?
That's
his
true.
Agent is part of Clutch, right? OG's true. Part of Clutch.
Oh yeah, that's the news that we've forgotten. Okay, hold on. Forget the finals. All right, the finals.
Are we talking about Nick Nurse's lawsuit? Do we need to say allegedly after every sentence right now?
This whole sentence is brought to you by allegedly. Okay,
yo, if I get sued off being on your pod, this will be the most expensive mistake of my life.
First off, Nick, please come on the podcast. I mean, we won't ask you about this, I promise.
No, let's talk about you and Tekashi. You know, we can talk about anything, Nick.
Yeah, that was disappointing that he's not.
I love how I'm just inviting myself on. Yo, if you have Nick on, just let me sit in. Yo, also, if you have Nick on, I will go and get a 5N hat. Someone in the YouTube comments for running back is like, what happened to the 5N hat idea?
Bro, I'm not actually going to get it. But no, if you do get it, they'll get it a bucket hat style. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get like a
we get the Asian straw man hat, man. We're taking that back.
No. Give me the 5Ns on the Asian tourist visor. You know, ones that are like the top is cut off.
But yeah,
it folds over the face for a face mask.
What did you want to talk about with Nick Nurse?
Yo, what's going on? Why?
Sued allegedly.
So hold on though. So I thought his agent was Warren Legarry. Like, I feel like this has been discussed before. Like,
was, but I guess from reading the stories, it's Andy Miller now, right? Who is part
of? When did he change? Well, agents?
I guess that's the thing that's in contention, because what Warren Legarry is saying is that he should be getting a cut of the extension that he got. Right? Is basically the gist of it.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends on, I guess, if he had fired his agent and then gone to Andy and then they negotiate the contract. I don't really see why he should get a cut.
Just figure it out, rich people. Like, just figure it out. I thought, I didn't have Warren Legarry as the person that would sue Nick. I thought it'd be I was going to say Dwayne, but I like Dwayne.
Wouldn't be surprised if Dwayne Casey was somehow behind this. What do you think Nick Nurse is doing at the Clutch parties? You know, like, every organization
handing out hats. Do you think?
Oh my god, yo, Nick Nurse is gonna slip Ben Simmons the Nick Nurse pill, and it's gonna change everybody, bro.
Nick's like in clutch, but like he's not like part of the main crew, you know?
Why not?
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because like Drake's obviously super close to LeBron. Like, I feel like there's connections to be made for Nick to like show up at those in those photos. Do you think Nick goes to those parties and tells G League stories? Do you think Nick's the type that will just tell G League stories no matter like what environment he's in?
Yeah.
You know how everyone's always got like three stories that they tell? Like, yeah. I feel like Nick's always got three in his bag. Like, he's going to tell you about the time Dennis Rodman played on his team for 3 days, you know?
Yep. No, it's true. This is a question that I question if I wanted to say publicly, although there's nothing specifically wrong with it. I just wanted to know, is Nick Nurse the first white clutch client?
They got to have a... You don't think they have, like, a Doug McDermott on there?
I'm looking at the list right now.
Yeah.
He might be.
You're going to say white people aren't getting enough opportunities?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Allegedly?
Not allegedly. This
might be the wildest podcast we've ever done. We've been going off the rails every 5 minutes.
Okay, Yusuf Nurkic is on here, but he's... Yeah, anyway, Nick Nurse, figure out your thing, man.
Nick Nurse breaking barriers. I was just surprised. Nick Nurse is the minority at clutch, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, Space Jam 2. We're finally at this part of the podcast. Okay. We have to start with this. Okay, so I watched the movie. You watched the movie. If you haven't watched the movie and you don't want to hear spoilers in particular, turn out the podcast. Like, we're not going to talk about
anything
else.
I'm going to say, if you haven't watched the movie, just listen to this anyways, because I feel like
it's not going to ruin the surprise on
you. It's not going to ruin. It's Space Jam, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking about, I don't even know. Like, we're not talking about like the Sixth Sense here or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's, listen to this, man. Like, you know, this is, we're going to be Asian, Cisco and Ebert right now.
Okay.
Right. I was saving this for a Run It Back. Make sure you tune in to Run It Back this week where we redo this segment, but in 3 minutes.
Don't worry. It'll be better.
I'm going to do a different 3 stars. You're going to get 2 different reviews from me this week.
All right.
Yeah.
No, this one's true. And the Run It Back is going to be,
yeah. Let's go.
Okay. So first off, in this movie, the start of this movie, the first 10 minutes were so weird and disjointed because you get this, like, I guess this is like a panning back to, you know, at the start of LeBron's life when he was a kid, and then he's going to practice and then his mom's not making it because she's got to work, and then like he misses some sort of game-winning shot, and then
Avon Barksdale, I believe, from The Wire was the coach.
Well, he looks way older, first off. I mean, I realized The Wire was 20 years ago, but like I was like, whoa, that it really is. This guy's really about to cuss out the rest. How many times has Avon played a basketball coach / player at this point? Because it's at least three.
He's definitely been typecast.
Does he look like a basketball player specifically? Like, is he like, you know what I mean? Like, it's anyway.
He might be a clutch client.
Yeah. He could be in clutch. I mean, Nick Nurse probably is handing him a hat right now. yo, Nick Nurse is doing the bubbles hat thing at clutch. I don't know why Nick Nurse at clutch is just so funny to me, man. Because the thing is, every single player, every single coach and general manager is like basically a Warren client anyway. So
yep.
Nick really is breaking barriers in that sense.
He's built different, man.
He's built different. But so then there's like, that's the start of the movie. Okay.
Wait, hold on, man. Before you even go on, I need to know, because I'm 36. Are we recapping every scene?
No.
Because you're starting from the beginning and you're stressing me out. I'm not going to make it to when they go into like the Looney Tunes world at this pace.
No, don't worry. No, I'm just saying the start of it really confused me because I heard a lot of negative reviews. I seen that graphic of LeBron at the Suns game with the 38% under his name. Okay. So I was like really worried that I wasn't going to have a good time. And the start of it was like really shaky for me. I was like, what's going on here? And it looked like one of those throwback. You know that commercial where the guy who kind of looks like a young Chris Paul, like, is tipping the play out, but then like the referee calls it out on the other guy. Then he walks to the huddle and he's like, yo, my coach, it was off on me. And everyone's like, yo, shut the hell up, man. I think his name was Alex, too.
I know actually. What you're talking about, yeah.
It looked like that, but in the Space Jam 2. And then they pan to, like, a LeBron career monologue, which, like, I was so confused by. And then the movie starts.
That's the opening credits. The opening credits is just literally a series of LeBron's, like, greatest career moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his championships, like, the great dunks that he's had, like, all his highlights.
Yep.
You know, I guess when you make your own movie, you can just make it about yourself.
Yeah, which, by the way, I realized why that he put that in is because I actually think that this movie is for kids that are so young that, like, don't remember LeBron jumping over John Lucas. Don't remember LeBron doing that little Statue of Liberty dunk over Tim Duncan with the mask on. They don't remember Dante Jones.
I think that's totally fair. Jones. I think that's one of the main points. You know, I've seen a lot of people talk about it. It's like, listen, man, I thought the movie was terrible, but I'm also not going to be like, wow, I thought Space Jam 2 was terrible. And, like, you know, like, that's I'm not going to make that, like, part of my personality. But, like, it's not for me. Like, I bet you, like, if my 7-year-old nephew watches this, like, he's going to want a Goon Squad jersey. He's going to think, like, Dame, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the game, but, like, Dame doing his Dame Time thing was super cool. Like, I think this was a great kids movie. They should have just marketed that more. They should have just leaned all the way in and made it a kids movie.
I mean, it's literally I don't think there was anything, though. How would you not know that that's a kids movie?
But, like, I just think,
expecting, like, you know, BoJack Horseman?
But, like, I just think, like, I mean, what is in that movie for people like us? You know, I don't think there's anything.
Okay, first off, there's an age difference between us.
No. You're getting lumped in this situation.
No. Relax.
25 plus is its own demographic in this case.
So. Okay, hold on. All right, it's different. All right, technically, I'm a millennial.
Yo, when you're 36 and I'm like 50, I can't wait to get those jokes off on Twitter.
Okay. I actually didn't hate the movie. Maybe it's because I watched it at like 1 a.m. and I was real tired.
I don't hate it. It was just not good. Like, you're going to sit there and be like, this is a good movie?
It was not a good movie. Like it's not like you watched like
a, I didn't expect it to be a good movie. Okay? Yeah, like I'm not expecting this to be like a
Sundance
kind of movie. I'm not expecting this to be like a Criterion Channel movie.
Were you entertained? Were you like
I was only entertained during the game when they played the game.
Okay, actually, wow, you're a real hoofhead. You really gotta see the freaking
You know me, man.
Basketball.
Yo, I'm built different. I'm built different, man.
This guy breaking down plays, man.
I live for hoops, man. No, but like
So you didn't like all the cameos and stuff. You weren't down with that.
Some of the cameos were cool. I mean, I think the first part of the movie was just really slow. I mean, they obviously had to get them into the world. And then they had this whole, like, I don't know, it felt like it was an hour of just once he got into the animated world of just running through all the Warner Brother properties, right? I mean, number one, I will say it was actually kind of slick how they explained why all of these other players that showed up looked like video game characters, like in terms of Dame. Who else was there? Diana Taurasi, AD, Clay, right? Yep. Like, Neckles it was because LeBron's, like, quote-unquote son in the movie, Dom, which Bronny couldn't have played that role. I feel like LeBron should have just let Bronny play that role. It would have just felt more, like, authentic, even.
I mean, yeah.
Bronny's probably like, yo, I'm not getting associated. He's like, yo, my friends are gonna shit on me once this gets 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
The movie's for his friends, okay? So, first off, that's not supposed to happen. Right.
This is not for Bronny's way too old to be liking Space Jam.
How old is he? Like 10? How old is he?
Bronny, he's coming to the NBA in like 3 years, man.
Okay, never mind. All right, take that back. I'm scratching that from the podcast. He's not 10. He's 10 plus 6, apparently.
No, but I didn't like the first half of the movie at all. You know, it was just slow and like I didn't care.
It was disjointed. It was really disjointed because they kept having to jump. Because the thing is, like, it went from you see LeBron's career monologue. Or montage to then seeing Warner Brothers' career montage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's cool that LeBron and Looney Tunes were in Casablanca for like 5 seconds, but like, why?
They go to Gotham at one point, right? And like all the characters show up and all of that stuff. I just wasn't there for that stuff. Wow. But once they got to the game, I was actually pretty hyped to see, like, because it was like a game of NBA Jam, but on steroids, right? You got all the power-ups and different things. And, you know, I thought it was cool. Like, Dame had this thing where he had a watch, right, that could slow down time.
Yeah.
And that was Dame time. Shouts to Klay Thompson. Apparently, his character's name was Wet Fire.
Yeah. He named that himself, man. No, he named that's definitely Klay made that up himself.
First of all, did we forget that like LeBron and the Warriors just like hate each other? Remember when LeBron had those 3-1 comeback cookies, like for Halloween, like for his Halloween party and all of that? Like, I know it's all business at the end of the day, but I'm sure Klay was just there for the check. So respect to Klay for that.
I think Klay was there because he's been away from basketball for the whole year, for 2 years now. So he's got to do something.
The interactions between LeBron and AD were just like hilariously not funny. Like,
yeah, it's tough, man.
This was part of the under the table deal to get AD to the Lakers.
Yeah, no, that's what exactly what it felt like.
But like, I feel like someone like Dame, like, you know, if 7-year-olds who don't watch basketball, like you said, like that, watches it, they're gonna fall in love with some of these characters. Like, they're gonna really like,
yeah,
the Goon Squad.
But like, who though? Because like, it wasn't like any single character outside of Don Cheadle, who is absolutely the first star of this. Well, we're doing the React Pod. Actually, this is a Space Jam 2 React Pod. But outside of Don Cheadle, LeBron, not even his son, because his son was kind of one dimensional.
Nobody was good. Let's be clear. It's only Don Cheadle carried this movie.
Yeah,
like, no, if you cared about like acting, like from an acting standpoint, Don Cheadle saw this script and said, "Yo, let me revisit my Rush Hour cameo, and I'm gonna go in that specific bag." Don Cheadle. I feel like he didn't need to put up this effort, but he did. Like, he could have just coasted. I mean, it's Space Jam 2. Nobody's really expecting that much from you.
No, but somebody had to take responsibility for the team, and it was Don.
He Cheadle. Leaned into his role really well. Like, legit, every time he was on in a scene, I was like, all right, like, this is actually pretty good. Like, I can't believe Don Cheadle's trying this hard.
Yeah. No, I actually had a list of NBA comparisons for Don Cheadle. So my list here is 2015 LeBron, 2006 Dwayne Wade, or 2019 Kawhi. What was Don Cheadle in this movie?
Man, I'm actually gonna say 2018 LeBron.
28. Okay, so yeah. He, you know what? I agree with you, because towards the end, his character, again, this is spoilers, but like, his character is just completely like neutralized. Like, we don't really even get to see much of him at all afterwards. Like, it's, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he's the villain, and the villain, you know, loses in a kids movie or whatever. But like, he kind of disappeared, just like LeBron in 2018. He punched the fire extinguisher or whatever.
Don Cheadle was LeBron, and LeBron in this LeBron was Jeff Green in this movie. No,
no, I think LeBron might have been.
I was expecting a little bit more. I was expecting a little bit more. I was expecting a little bit more from LeBron on the acting side, because I forgot, what's that movie that he did?
Trainwreck.
Years ago.
Trainwreck.
Yes, Trainwreck. I thought he was pretty good for the role that he was given in Trainwreck. But the thing for me is, like, LeBron's in a different place in his career now. Mm. Like, I feel like he's too rich and too successful to, like, do anything interesting on screen.
Yeah.
That's my other takeaway.
Well, I mean, this is also one thing. It was like, because obviously this movie was so much about, like, LeBron. Like, it was LeBron propaganda. Like, let's be real. Like, they're playing us on CCTV4 at this point. But, but like, it does make you think about LeBron's whole career. And I do remember, like, early in his career, like, LeBron was able to showcase so much more of his personality, maybe because he was a lot younger and stuff like that. But, like, he was just able to be himself a lot more. Like, you would see these, like, videos at the All-Star game where he was, like, dancing at practice with Shaq and Dwight Howard. Or, like, you know, remember when he was in Cleveland, he was also do, like, stuff on the sideline. Like, he did, like, the dance, the Riverwalk dance, and then he
used to do these, like, yeah, elaborate poses with his teammates before the game, right? Like, all this fun stuff.
But he did, but I'm like, saying that he's just a different doesn't point. Happen anymore. He's such a he's so controlled now. Like, he's so tightly, like, he's almost like he's a president. Like, he can't,
but that's the level of celebrity he's at, right? And I think it reflects on this type of movie too, because it's funny, because obviously all the reviews have been terrible. And the other day he posted a link of a link that said that Space Jam made like $32 million over the weekend. And he basically, I think his caption was "Hi haters." And like, that just said everything to me. Like, that's what this movie was about, to just make money.
Yeah.
Like, there's no creative energy behind it. Like, I don't think LeBron's looking to hire like someone to be like, oh, let's make the best film possible. It's like, let's make the best film about me.
Mm.
That's possible, right? And that's a big difference. Again, not looking for this to be like some kind of groundbreaking film, but I just think for its genre, like, appealing to kids and all that, it just could have been better.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're not children. Like, this is not for us.
Yeah, like, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to go that deep on it, but I don't know. The game was fun. You know, they came back from 1,000 points. I can't believe you
love the game this much.
Yo, I was so excited when they came on the court.
No, this guy was like, oh, wow, this is like the 26-3 comeback by the Raptors against the Bucks. Okay, by the way, the halftime score of this game, which, again, Space Jam, you know, oriented. 1,037 to 35, I think, or 25.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were down literally 1,000 points.
It's basically Kyle Lowry bringing the Raptors back from 30 down against the Mavs. What's the difference?
What was more realistic of a comeback? This comeback or Kyle versus the Mavs?
Honestly, this one, because I still don't know how the Mavs blew a 30-point lead. I think they should have traded Porzingis that day.
Yeah, that was and the weird thing is, so in this game, so I guess
we're really doing this.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So they're up 1,000. So the Goon Squad is up 1,000 at halftime. I think they legitimately scored 4 total points in the second half. Because it came down to one basket, obviously, and then, you know, LeBron hits the game winner. Okay, he dunks with the help of his son, who throws him, Mega Man's jump pad, whatever. But, like, again, we can't overlook the fact that the Goon Squad, with AD, with Dame Lillard, with Clay, with Diana, with Neka Ngumike, like, they scored 4, and Don Cheadle at some point has to be in the game. Okay, this guy went from coaching to playing like Bill Russell. All right,
no, he was Nick Nurse in Europe.
This was Nick Nurse in England. Holy crap, this guy had to put up 30. Oh my god,
so they scored 4 points technically, officially, in the second half.
I think so, yeah, because I think the final score was like 1,000 to like 42 to like 1,043, and they had like 1,037 points a half.
Yeah, so, I'm not gonna lie, the second half lost my attention a little bit, but like,
yeah,
you know who they should have had in this movie? Giannis, man. I think Giannis would have hammed it up and really enjoyed like playing somebody in this movie,
as you know, like, you know, people, Americans take issue with people who can't speak English. You know, apparently, and this is something that is going to probably affect people in the movies. Other things to note from this game: Dame Lillard. So if my math is correct on this, Dame has now lost to the Granny, Looney Tunes Granny, and also Campazzo. He's been shut down by Campazzo and the Granny, and losing to Austin Rivers in the same 2 months.
And he caught 2 L's with Team USA already.
That's correct. So. Yeah. What is
he's also on? Lost to Gabe Vincent.
He's lost to Gabe Vincent. So let me give you, like, I feel like Granny's probably the top of that list. Like, he's got to catch the least amount of slander for getting shut down by Granny. But
it's hilarious. The movie came out on the same day of all the trade rumor stuff too. For Dame,
do you think LeBron told Dame like, "Yo, demand a trade. We need more yeah, press.
We just need more PR.
More space.
We just need more PR."
They're like, "Yo, Clay, get on your boat and do an IG live right now."
No, Giannis, now that I keep thinking about it, man, I really wish Giannis was in this. I think it would have been a really cool introduction of
He's
Giannis
like
to, like,
freakish,
kids too.
You know, with the length and the arms. Like, you could very easily turn that into,
and
like,
you know, he would have hammed it up. I think that's the one thing, too, is, like,
yeah.
I want people who, like, aren't taking themselves too seriously and are going to be like, "Yo, I'm in Space Jam." Like, I'm just going to come in, like, ham it up. It just needed to be a little bit more fun. It wasn't, like, imaginative, you know? Like, there's nothing, like, I don't know. It just felt like they just did it because they could do a movie.
Well, I mean, my things with it was like, A, they put in too many cameos. Like, it was like one of those movies you got to go back and like read a list to be like, "Oh yeah, turns out, you know, James Gandolfini was there reprising his character of Tony Soprano."
Yeah, because there's all, like, these people in the background of like the
why
game,
do I need
right,
to see
crowd.
That? Why,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love the Sopranos. You know, I love Tony. But like, what the hell is he
but
doing in
I'm
Space
saying.
Jam?
That's what I'm saying. Who's in that creator's room? Who's in that writer's room telling LeBron and telling Rich Paul that, like, no, this is not a good idea?
Yeah.
Because somebody probably walked in and was like, "Yo, people love when, like, we watch Marvel shows and Marvel movies and you can find all these Easter eggs."
Sure.
Like, we should totally use
up
the
Warner
Brothers
properties.
But that's like, I know you're a big hip hop guy. It reminded me of like an album from The Game. Because I don't know, The Game used to drop shout outs to everybody on like every song. Like, that was his thing. Like, he would shout out every rapper that he knew.
Okay.
And this movie felt like that. Like, it was just all these shout outs for no reason. Like, we're just going to show everything because we can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was like the Iron Giant was there, King Kong was there. Like,
they did like Matrix references, right?
Yeah.
I think there was like Mad Max stuff. Like, there's a lot of other stuff. Clockwork Orange apparently was there, like a reference to that.
Like, some of it was cool, but which, by the way, this is probably like if you go to a buffet, right? Like, if they put in a million references, every single person would connect with like two or three of them, and I guess that's the idea. But like, I don't know, man. Like, I think that part was a little distracting. It was sort of like so many cameos, although some of them I did enjoy. Like LeBron being sort of the Hufflepuff made a lot of sense to me personally.
Oh, yeah. Are you a Harry Potter guy?
I'm not like a Harry Potter guy. Like, I'm not like a Harry Potter stan by any means.
I know you're a Lord of the Rings guy. So, like, what level do you stan Harry Potter compared to, like, Lord of the Rings?
No, Lord of the Rings is substantially better than Harry Potter.
We got to talk about that one day, too. What do you love about Lord of the... Do you like the actual text or the movies better?
Fine, honestly, it's blasphemous, but probably the movies. It's just easier to engage with.
Yeah.
Because if you read the books...
they just go for walks, like me, every day. Yeah.
Yo, half the book is them walking in forests and then singing, like, a weird poem with, like, weird English in it. Like, you know, and I do enjoy that, but, like, it's harder to consume that. But no, the movies are great, man.
No, I respect it.
Well, anyway, so that's my one issue was, like, it was a little bit too overboard. Not even a little bit. It was a lot overboard.
Way too overboard. And there's just no point. You're just doing it to just do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the connections weren't fully there. And then the other thing is just, like, I wish... So there's two portions of LeBron's acting in this one. There's LeBron as a voice actor with the animated character. And then there's LeBron, like, in the flesh, right? Every time it was LeBron in the flesh, I was just like, he was so stiff. Like, he just didn't want to, like, engage and be fun. And that's the thing. Like, it's a kid's movie, so you really got to, like, come out and be goofy and, like, you know, be a little bit over the top, bring a lot of energy. But he seems so measured and everything. Like, I'm like, yo, you're not Al Pacino. Like, this is not, you know, you're not Michael. Like, who somehow was the only person not in the movie. I guess, you know, no love for the Corleone family. But, like... You know, like, it just...
No, when you're that rich and successful, you know, it's... You're not going to laugh at yourself or make fun of yourself.
Yeah, that's true. He was way better as a voice character, though. Like, I feel like...
I thought the animated parts... I thought the animated parts was, like... If you take away all the references, like, I thought it was cool. But it's, like, the minute they fall into the animated world, he, like, falls into the ground and it makes a Nike swoosh. And I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. Enough, man.
And it wasn't funny the way they did it. You know what I mean?
Like, it was just like an advertisement vehicle. Like, that's the thing. I mean, I understand most content is advertisement.
You could do that in a way where it's like, oh, it's like a wink and a nod to the audience. But there wasn't even like any joke about it. It was just like, we're just going to put a swoosh on there because we can.
All right.
Haven't mentioned Steve Young yet. What's wrong with you, man?
Well, yeah.
Saving that? Saving that?
I was watching this movie and then I went to bed at like 3 a.m.
Speaking of Thanasis.
He literally had... You know how people make fun of Jeremy Lin's NBA Finals run?
Oh, it's come like a video on, man. On Reddit. No, you're going to do the compare. Come on, man.
Where they slow down Jeremy's like 1 minute in garbage time. He's throwing a pass out of bounds to, like, I don't even know, like Boucher or somebody.
That was Danny Green, but yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that was during an actual meaningful moment, and that was way worse. But that's basically Steven Yeun's whole cameo. I was so excited because I didn't know. I didn't, like, do any research on this. I didn't know, and he showed up so quickly, you know.
No, I had no idea.
Like, oh, wow, I was like, wow, look at Steve. Like, he's in everything.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. He's probably gonna be the only Asian character in this movie, but also that means that he's the number one Asian in the world right now, or at least in North America. That's pretty cool. Like,
he's untouchable right now.
But he did nothing. He literally did nothing. Like, I didn't even know what his role was.
He was like a Warner Brother exec when they did the presentation, right?
But he said like two words and he just like sat there and did his little Steve Yeun smile.
This guy did Minari and Space Jam 2 in the same year. Look at the range, man.
The range is wild, man. This guy got not Derek Jeter at shortstop. This guy's John McDonald at shortstop. I watched the Blue Jays, all right? I watched the Blue Jays.
Yeah, you definitely watched them all those years when they won 67 games.
Yes, that's exactly why I don't watch them anymore. I was scarred. I was like, every year's the same. They're like, oh, we're perpetually 5 games back of the AL East. I think they're still 5 games back of the AL East, to be honest. I'm tired, man.
Shouts to our guy, man. That was a cool cameo. See, those are the cameos that they should have done.
Did you like Michael B. Jordan's cameo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was okay.
That one actually made sense. That was actually pretty funny. I laughed a little.
Yeah.
I slapping my knee? No, but like at 2 a.m. was it funny? Yeah.
The movie's not for us, and that's fine. I mean.
Well, who's us, bro? This
is the only opportunity I could just casually lump you in.
Nah, we mark different boxes on the census. Like,
that's why. That's why you keep saying you like the movie. Yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah. All right.
How many stars are we giving this out of five, man? Five star rating system.
Five stars. I'm gonna give this for parents taking the kids to the movies.
Yeah, just watch it at home.
A two and a half. Okay. For parents, I think there's some things to be excited about. Like, you're not gonna fall asleep during the movie. Like, you're not taking your kids to watch like, man, what are kids movies like? Like Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You're not taking your kids to watch Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2. Okay, like it has more juice than that.
Kids will have fun watching this.
It's probably like a four for kids.
I'm saying, man, kids are gonna love Dame. I feel like Dame's gonna be the big winner out of this.
Again, Dame got shot down by Granny, man. Like,
I know, but I feel like he was like cool. I thought he was cool.
Mm. Did he?
I was excited.
Was it cool that he put his own rap music in there?
Oh yeah,
it was rap. I really wanted to see a rap battle between, because they got the the pig character.
Oh yeah, the Notorious P.I.G.
Yeah, which was great. Oh, like, great reference.
The
bars were all right. But like, I really thought he was gonna rap against Dame, and Dame was gonna lose, and I really would have wanted that moment just for myself, but it wasn't, unfortunately.
Anyways, shouts to Warner Brothers Canada, you know, for the movie code. This is the content for you.
The gear is great.
This is the content for you. One star.
No, that's still, come on, one star. Yo, give me another example of a one star movie for you, man. Come on. One star,
man. I'm trying to think, man. The 2018 playoffs,
Raptors. that's minus six,
that
man.
That was a one star.
That's a moon. That's not even a star. That's a moon. That's an asteroid.
It's a black hole.
Nah, it's like one of those particles.
All right, I'll give it a two. Two stars. Two stars.
Oh, come on, bro. You gave Utah's Raptor season an A plus. You can't be giving this two.
Yo, my grading systems are wild, man.
What is this, man? No, this is bias. This is a pro Asian bias.
There we go. Asian, Cisco, and Ebert. We did it.
All right. So three stars. Now, what do you mean we did it, man? Come on, you know the podcast. So the React Pod, we got to finish off. Three stars. Gerald Henderson, all that stuff. Three stars for me. Don Cheadle, you agree? Obviously, first star. He had to carry so much of the movie because nobody else was acting. In a movie, so he had to like overact, but that's the point. You're a villain. You're a cartoon. Like, he lived it up, and he was really good. I really enjoyed Don Cheadle's character. His arc was not the most satisfactory, but he's not writing his own story. That's fine, right? He just feels like he had no redeemable qualities other than just being engaging as a villain. Second star for me, I had Lola Bunny, and then third star was just LeBron's voice acting. So when LeBron was an animated character on screen he was voicing, I thought he was really good. What are your three stars after Don Cheadle, I guess? The two stars.
Yeah, no, Don Cheadle, clear-cut first star. Number two, gonna give it to my guy, Steve Yeun.
What? Yeah, this is the Hollywood Asian bias once again, man.
Yep. Love to see Asians thriving.
Yep.
Number three, I'm gonna go to Dame. I guess I really like Dame's character. Really
like Dame's character.
There we go.
It's okay. Gerald Henderson Award. I got Granny for me. I was really entertained by the Granny. I just thought like she had a lot of
Granny great showed up.
Appearances.
Granny showed up.
Huge in the comeback.
Granny was like Malcolm Miller in the 30-point comeback.
Yes.
Against the Mavs. Yeah. You know?
Absolutely.
Played her role.
I hope Malcolm Miller is doing well, man. Malcolm Miller, come on the podcast, I guess.
Yeah, shout out to Malcolm Miller, man.
Yeah. Do you got a Patrick Patterson Award for this? LeBron in human form.
Warner Brothers, yeah.
Yeah. No, Warner Brothers really got there. It was really just like I could have read the IMDb page. You know, like, no, I guess I could have read the Wikipedia page. Like, honestly, like, I get it.
It was just very uninspired, is all I'll say. Mm. Just uninspired.
Do you have a favorite cameo? Or.
I don't know. Okay,
I'll go for me. For me, I liked seeing LeBron in a Harry Potter context. He was Hufflepuff, which does make a lot of sense. He is kind of nerdy and corny, so he's Hufflepuff for me. Probably definitely not Gryffindor. And the other two, I don't think he's Slytherin. Like, that's too far for him, and he's not Ravenclaw either for sure. So he's Hufflepuff. That makes sense. And also LeBron in the Mad Max, like, he really got himself like that, like, mohawk for like two seconds. That was cool.
I'll give a shout out to him working in a Taco Tuesday reference at the end.
Yeah. without the racially insensitive portion of it.
But I think he was going there. I think they cut that out. I could hear him getting ready.
They cut that out like our whole Nick Nurse Clutch Sports discussion on this episode. Oh.
Yeah, shouts to Space Jam too, man.
Yeah. So you're not gonna take your nephews to see it? Are you gonna take your nephews? Come on, you take your nephews to see everything basketball, man. You took them to see the 905. You're not gonna take them to see the season.
Yeah, Space Jam 2? Cool. Nah, I'll just send them
the 905 and said that Henry Ellenson was Kyle Lowry or something like that.
Yeah, so it was wet fire, bro. No, I'll send them my Cineplex code or something.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Actually, I never asked them. I don't even know if they're excited about it. I feel like it's probably one of those movies that kids are going to talk about, though.
I think the idea is you get the parents excited to go, and then they take their kids as the reason why they go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the kids are going to love it, man.
Your kids are going to love it.
Yeah, really did this. Really, really worked 30 minutes of Space Jam in.
That's
what are you going to do the rest of this offseason? Well, I guess free agency's coming.
I was going to say, the draft is coming next week-ish. Live show, people are going to call in and carry the content.
I have a feeling the Raptors are going to swerve and draft someone that we're not expecting.
Bro, you made fun of Scotty Barnes too quickly, man. Too soon. Now people are going to play that clip.
I don't even know what Scotty Barnes. I've never watched a single clip of any of these guys.
Like when Scotty Barnes.
The only clip I've seen is
like the 2028 NBA Finals game winning buzzer beater with five bounces this time instead of four. People are going to have clip run it back and then show us calling him an Indiana Pacers Associated Press reporter.
my only clip I've seen is Jalen Suggs hitting that game winner in the Final Four, man.
Yeah,
that's why I think he's the best player in the draft.
Yeah, he does that every game, man. He does it every game.
We got to mention that Dwayne Casey said he judges players.
Oh yeah.
He interviews the draftees and judges them depending on whether they make their beds or not.
Mm.
So,
do you make your bed?
I mean, it depends on the day.
How do you make your bed? Because I feel like this is like a controversial thing for everybody. This is honestly probably what Dwayne Casey is saying to Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Tigers game right now, watching Miguel Cabrera.
Come on, man.
Just trying to show my versatility.
I wasn't even sure if you really said that, man. At first, I was like, yo, is Miguel Cabrera a basketball player? No, it's wild right now. But so Kate Cunningham's gonna drop to three. No, I'm happy. No, not now that I think about it more, like, man, I wish the Raptors moved up more. Cause four is a spot where they don't really get to choose, obviously, from like the top four guys.
Yeah.
It's whoever's kind of left. Like two or three would have been really good for them. I mean, one obviously, but like even two or three would have made a huge difference, I feel like.
Yeah.
But
I mean, whatever. We'll see though. I do think like the best development situation is still Toronto. Like I think
they
could definitely do the best job with all the guys available. It's just
I mean, it goes without saying, not to sound like Magic Johnson, but like I mean, it's gonna make a huge difference.
The second pick is better than the fourth pick.
No, it makes a huge difference if they actually nail this, right? Like this could. No, but for real though, like I'm looking at like I was thinking about like the Hawks with like Trae Young, right? Okay. Like, imagine if they didn't nail Trae Young. Where would the Hawks be right now? Like, a 30-win team? They'd be the Orlando Magic.
They'd be the Hawks of last year.
Because the Magic, I mean, they've stunk up the draft, like, how many years in a row, right?
Well, they are the perpetual, like, number five pick in the draft. Like, yeah. They've moved down in the draft so many times. It's actually amazing. They're the anti-Cleveland, basically.
Also, speaking of the draft, one of my favorite things is after the Raptors moved up in the lottery, shouts to our guy Assad. Everyone on Twitter is like, yo, because Assad all year was like, oh, tanking's dumb and everything, right? Mm. Everyone's like, you don't get to enjoy this number four pick. Like, what are you guys talking about? Assad gets to enjoy this as much as everyone. Like, who says that? Man. I saw people being like, no, man, this guy said tanking was bad. He doesn't get to enjoy this.
Yeah.
People are out here telling people not to enjoy how people can enjoy their fandoms. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a whole industry for that, quite honestly. No, but I mean, like, I remember, like, during, like, the championship year, like, I remember going to regular season, talking to, like, some courtside fans or whatever, and they were like, oh, I was like, what do you think of the trade? Like, what do you think of Kawhi so far? And they're like, I don't like him. You know, like, I love DeMar so much. I can't like Kawhi. I hate him. I hate that he's the reason DeMar's gone. Like, I hate everything. I promise you, come June 13th, 2019, that person was celebrating. The person was in the street. That person was out all night. The person went to the parade. That person went to the season opener the next year, getting the rings. The person
probably has a Kawhi jersey.
Probably got a Kawhi jersey. So that's a side. That's all. And it wasn't just a side, man. I mean, like, you know.
I didn't want them to.
I didn't want them to watch them lose. It was really hard.
I wanted to watch them in the play-in. My thing wasn't like, yo, let's not try to get this draft pick. I just think once you go down that road, it's just a loser mentality. Like, are we tanking for several years here? What's going on, man?
Yeah, no.
But I got it at the end. I mean, once they started sitting Kyle the whole second half, it was like, all right. I guess we'll just do run it back about Freddie Gillespie dancing.
Hey, listen, they needed to give us that content too.
Yo, this season was a tough time, man. Because I made up an outline for you every week, bro.
Yeah, not legit. We record Run It Back every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and I wake up probably 9:30. You know, do my usual morning stuff, and like 2 minutes after 10 o'clock, I show up and I open that list for the first time, and then we do the show. So
no, it's great. Loving the comment section.
Yeah,
it's fun. Well, all right, how much time do we milk?
Yeah, no, this is enough, man. This is enough. I guess we can't plug your book still, man. Jeez.
No, it's all good. Coming soon. Writing coming a Raptors soon. Book too.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me the idea of the Raptors book.
Yeah, so it's going to be deep dive into how the Raptors came to Toronto. All of the behind the scenes stuff, and then stuff from the first year. I'm going to be doing interviews, obviously, with people involved. You know, I think people know the outline of like the Raptors. Obviously, they've heard about the logo. Mm-hmm. You know, they've heard about them beating the Bulls, Michael Jordan and the Bulls in the first year. But this will dive a bit more into that. And then part of the book is going to highlight kind of different pockets of the city as well, and looking at what the arrival of the Raptors meant to kind of different demographics.
Nice.
So going to be weaving that in as well, because I think it'd be cool to tell the story from that perspective, because it's just, I think there are a lot of great Raptors writers, but I don't think they focus on that too much. No. Like, I think we like to parade out the fact that the Raptors have like a diverse fan base and all of that. And like, shouts to Nav Badia, super fan, but I love to hear about stories of other people as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, I agree with you, man. No, that's really cool. I think, honestly, just in general, I feel like, because I think Toronto is a lot of newcomers, the overarching storyline of Toronto doesn't get told. Like, even as someone who has lived in the city for 20 years now, like, I don't know the history of Toronto really like that. Like, I think you kind of have a general idea of like what the history of New York was, or like the history of even Montreal, for example, or like Quebec City. Like, you just don't have that same sense of history with Toronto, especially in the last like 30 or odd years, where it's like really accelerated to the point where it's been. So, you know, it's cool, man. I get to read about that portion from you, and I think you're a great voice to tell that story. And you know, that's I'm looking forward to 2 years from now having you on the podcast bugging you about this book, and you not telling people where to buy it. You're not dropping the I don't know. I guess you're not supposed to buy on Amazon. Like, where are you supposed to buy this book from? I guess Chapters or whatever.
Yeah, wherever you want. No, don't worry, man. Promo tour for my book is starting next month, so it'll be insufferable. But
send me the Google Docs. Send me the 260 page Google Doc. Let me read the advanced copy.
Yeah, I got you, bro. Right. I got you.
Okay, that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Alex for staying up past his bedtime for this podcast.
Come on, man.
You got the Space Jam 2 review. You got Kyle Lowry rumors. You got Nick Nurse rumors. And
yo, somebody round up. Don't you have a fan who counts up all the three stars?
Someone did that already.
All right. Yeah. But I want someone to count up all of Will's baseball references.
Okay.
Send me the starting, the batting lineup from all the references. I want Lyle Overbay batting leadoff. Yeah. Right. We got Miguel Cabrera cleanup. We got Jesse Lynch on the mound for 7 innings.
This team is really the 2006 Blue Jays, man. You got, I guess I didn't mention Vernon Wells.
Yeah, shout out to Calvin Escobar.
Alex Rioche.
Rioche.
Who else? Aaron Hill.
Is that where the Olympics were held a few years ago? In Rioche.
Oh my god, who else, man? Jeez, who else? Who was catcher on all this? Oh, Greg Zahn. Oh my god.
Yeah, Greg Zahn. Oh man.
Oh god, JP Arencibia. Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Oh wow, yo, the Jays have had some catchers.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. Who do they? Oh yeah, who's the guy they got from the White Sox? He was old.
Catcher?
No, the first baseman, sometimes DH'd.
Frank Thomas?
Frank Thomas. Yeah, Frank Thomas.
The Big Hurt?
The Big Hurt. Yeah, great nickname.
Jose Canseco was here for a little bit too, man.
Yeah, that's before my time, man. You're going to tell me about Roger Roger Clemens and...
Really got to explain to you who Ken Griffey Jr. is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, man. There's got to be a Ken Griffey III. I'll understand Ken Griffey III. So...
Oh, all right, man. Wow. Wow. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah,
there you go. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll be back later in the week with more podcasts somehow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.